We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsberg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know, this week brought to you by betonline.ag and Untuckit, great friends of the Blue Wire Network, great friends of the podcast. Mason Ginsberg, we had a busy trade deadline of which the Pelicans did absolutely nothing at all, but I don't give a crap. The Pelicans just beat the brakes off Portland like it was the playoffs 2 years ago. Jrue Holiday locking down Dame Dalla. Damian Lillard is going to go into All-Star break, perform at halftime on Saturday night, and he's going to be thinking about how he's been 0-14 against the Pelicans from three this season, and it's going to be a terrible performance like his performances have been against the Pelicans so far. In Zion, career high. I'm unbelievably hyped off this game, which was an important game and a statement win from the Pelicans with regards to the playoff race. What are your emotions right now?
Man, that's first of all, Dame's going to drop 50 on Memphis tomorrow night with you, now that you said all that, which actually would be fine by me. but man, that was fun. One back in the loss column from Portland now, climbing up the standings. And obviously we've got the pretty cakewalk-ish schedule after the All-Star break. And Portland does too. So they're the second easiest schedule in the Western Conference behind the Pelicans. And so the fact that New Orleans is 3-0 against Portland now and has the season series locked up is huge. And that game was just so much fun, man. I mean, obviously, Zion had his career night so far. But, so many guys on this team contributed. I mean, 138 points, that kind of thing will happen. You're going to see some crazy box score numbers from a lot of players. But, I mean, both sides of the ball, I mean, we all Brandon Ingram missing this game was a disappointment. But at the same time, I was excited to see Josh Hart fill in the starting lineup. And I was ready for him to be a plus defensively and really create that energy that he's been able to create so many times for the Pelicans this year. But, man, he was lights out on offense too, 7-for-10 from the field. And he scored without being terribly – he usually takes quite a few threes, but – He was 2 for 5 from three, which is fine, but he scored from all over the place. He was getting inside, and a lot of the Pelicans was getting inside. Lonzo Ball was driving more too. So, I mean, a lot of things to like. I mean, I think we can talk a little bit about a few different players and their respective games and ways that they really, really turned this game around after a pretty shitty first quarter.
Yeah, okay. So let's just start with Josh freaking Hart, man. He has been playing unbelievably well this past stretch of games. Now, the Pelicans have won 3-0. As you mentioned, Brandon Ingram has missed about 2.5 of these games. And Josh Hart has stepped up in a big way, whether it's offense, whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, you putting Josh Hart on one of their better perimeter players. He is doing it all. He has earned a shout-out from Zach Lowe. I'm willing to bet Josh Hart is going to be in the next 10 things I like and don't like column that Zach Lowe is going to put out. So there's a strong possibility. But he is, like you said, he's been unbelievable. He played decently well in the first half, and then the third quarter he took over, but from a defensive standpoint, he forced several turnovers. He ended up with 10 points in like a 3-4 minute stretch where it was just all hustle, and the Pelicans blew the game open because of it. So I've been very excited to watch Josh Hart. He's been an impact player for this team, and it was, like you said, a concern. Like, there were maybe questionable moments earlier in the year, like where does he fit, who does he take minutes from, and what is his role going to be. But he is earning every single minute that he is getting, and I hope the Pelicans can retain him a year from now at a reasonable deal, because if he continues to play really well, there's going to be some team that's going to want to overpay that. And Memphis just gave a pretty nice deal to Dylan Brooks, and if we can get Josh Hart on that, I would be all aboard. Board on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be one of the. I mean, obviously, beyond throwing money at Brandon Ingram, that's going to be. I think hopefully that's something the Pelicans look into this summer. Seeing what negotiating and figuring out what kind of contract Josh might be interested in. I think he'd be open to locking something in this summer. Do you think that's – I don't know. I'm back and forth on it.
He wants to bet on himself. The thing is, the sell has to be a long-term future here for him. You know, he asked Griff not to trade him, and Griff relented. Now Griff gets to ask something back. And I think Josh Hart has earned the right to bet on himself, and I think – in 2021, he will probably get a decent amount of money from somewhere, but I just don't know. I hope that they can lock him into something this summer, and if they can't, just let the market play out and deal with it then. And if you get the sense that he's going to be way too pricey, then that means he's playing tremendously well, and you look to see what you can get out of him. I think that's the last scenario that we want, but hey, if he becomes that good and he becomes that much in demand, then you try to figure out what his value is on the trade market and go from there.
Yeah. Who should we go to next? I mean, there's so many guys to talk about in this.
There were so many contributions from all over the floor. I mean, JJ Redick had 20 points in 20 minutes off of 10 shots, and he grifted his way into 6 free throws where he was just. Oh, was it Anfernee Simons was fouling him every time JJ touched the ball? It was great to watch. He was great. But I want to talk about Jrue Holiday, who has struggled. He had a period of games where he struggled, and the last two games he's been absolutely incredible. Particularly as a floor general against Indiana, he was super clutch. He had a big scoring game. He had a double-digit assist game, and he has really made the Pelicans' offense what it is. And in this game, again, it was the same story. In 29 minutes, he put up 16 and 10 off an efficient 7 of 12 shooting. But what impressed me the most about this game was he was in control the whole time. So, you know, when the Pelicans needed to play fast, he pushed the pace, and he found the people that were – hustling hard on defense and getting open in transition. When the Pelicans needed to slow the game down, he slowed it down and made the right reads. He found Zion on a tremendous lob but that was after he slowed it down and the defense was fully keyed in on him. He defensively obviously just clamped down on Damian Lillard. He finished the night with 2 steals and 2 blocks, which is pretty impressive. And again, only 29 minutes for a guard. One of Drew's best all-round games I've seen this year, even though the numbers aren't going to be eye-popping.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was all over the place. He was, you know, I got annoyed with one of the early. He likes to take these early shot clock step back threes. It still frustrates me. I feel like it's some of the stuff that Josh Hart was doing earlier in the season. Drew's kind of still doing it, but then that bothered me. And then the rest of the game was just Drew doing amazing thing after amazing thing after amazing thing. It was so fun to watch. I mean, I think you can't talk about Drew without talking about the team as a whole from an assist perspective, and the fact they put up 40 assists tonight. Like they
on almost 49 makes.
They almost doubled the Trailblazers' number of assists. Lonzo and Drew both had 10. Zion and Frank Jackson both had 5. I mean, they had 30 assists from 4 players. I can't imagine that's ever happened before in Pelicans history. Like, this just I don't see how. And so just the unselfishness. We're always finding the open man. Like you said, 40 assists on 49 makes. That's just an incredible ratio. And if they keep playing the ball like that, it's going to lead to more success.
Yeah, and again, it's all starting on the defensive end. I mean, I think in the first quarter, Derek Favors looked just flat out bad. Someone on Twitter remarked that he looks like a black Omer Asik.
Damn.
I thought that was hilarious. And I thought it was accurate at that point of the game. But he picked it up in the third quarter where it mattered the most. Lonzo looked pretty terrible the first half of the game. And he picked it up in the third quarter a lot, especially defensively and even offensively. He was playing really well. The whole team was. It was a Warriors-esque third quarter. They scored 41 points. They held Portland to 21 points. Just a bonkers third quarter. And yeah, we haven't even talked about Zion Williamson. So let's talk about Zion. What stood out to you most this game?
It's for him, at least right now for me, it's always starting and ending with his offensive rebounding and how much of it he's a machine. I don't like what's, have you seen anyone even close to like him on New Orleans basketball team on the offensive glass? Like it's, I know we've talked about how he rebounds his own misses a lot, but he's ripping the ball out of everyone's. Today was the victim was Hassan Whiteside. Like, he not only the rebounds, but he's so fearless. He's going at anyone inside.
The Pelicans were ISOing Zion Williamson against Whiteside, and they were like, "Yep, we're just gonna live with this matchup, and Whiteside's gonna foul out." And I don't think he fouled out this game. Whiteside finished with 5 fouls, so he's very close. But the Pelicans were like, "Yeah, we're gonna put our 6'6 forward against this 7-foot center who leads the league in blocks. And we like that matchup." Zion was absolutely incredible against him. He had some really good finishes. There were some times where Whiteside made things difficult. I think Zion got blocked once or twice. But that wasn't because of Williamson. It was because of the defense collapsing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of Whiteside. It was because the defense collapsed. But mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, when Trevor Ariza was on Zion, there was just no chance whatsoever at all. And so there was a time where Ariza was trying to front him. Yeah, good luck. That's a lob over the top. And there was a time that Zion faced up against him, had a quick, lightning quick jab step to the left and just exploded for a dunk down the middle of the lane. And this is 27 minutes. He put up 31 points. Was a team high plus 25. I'm pretty sure he's had the team high plus minus in like 6 of his 8 games.
A few of them, yeah.
He's only been negative in the plus minus once. That was the Milwaukee game. And he, I think, super impressive tonight. He was 11 for 14 from the free throw line, 78.6% there. He was, a really all-round good outing for him. He didn't look tremendously out of place defensively. I think he still I think he's still finding his place in areas that he's effective in. And so, like, he clearly has a lot of room for improvement. Like, he only had 3 defensive rebounds compared to 6 offensive rebounds. That's a little bit of, like, the Jackson Hayes syndrome. But I think he can get a lot better at that, and I think he will. I'm not too concerned about it going into the future. I think right now he's just like, oh, ball goes up, let me go leak an offense, and I'll get the ball, and I'll score. And then it may even be part of the game plan a little bit, but I think that'll get better. And I think as the more games he plays, the better he'll get on defense, and he'll get in better game shape. Not that he's, like, out of shape. It's not a narrative I'm trying to add fire to. It's just that the more repetitions you get, the better you play.
I've been obviously Zion did a lot of great things on his own, but I've been impressed at how the Pelicans guards and really anyone around the perimeter have done the job they've done getting him the ball, because some of these passing lanes aren't easy. I mean, Zion's not a super tall dude who's going to make things. Obviously he can fly high, and if you're throwing him an alley-oop, that's one thing, but you know, I think the whether it's Lonzo or Drew or all of these guys are really doing a better job of getting the ball into Zion and not, you know, putting the ball at risk. And now Zion's a strong guy, he's an athletic guy, he's going to go get a lot of balls, even though he's not 6'10" or 6'11", but it's still promising, I think, to see that ability from the rest of the team to get that, to feed him when he's hot.
Yeah, no, it is. I think the team understands what a force Zion is, and it's just amazing to watch. He's 19 years old. He's played 8 games now, 9 games. I don't know.
9.
Yep. 9 games, and in his 9th game, he put up 31, 9, and 5. In 27 minutes. But it's difficult to comprehend what he's really doing.
Yeah, it's nuts. I tweeted about it just before we started that there's, in less than 30 minutes, he's the youngest player ever to do that. I mean, it was Luka, and now it's him. And like
19-year-olds that have put up his stat line have been LeBron, Durant, and Luka. That's it. Ever.
Yeah, and no one did it as quickly as Zion did. Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, and then you're going to add Brendinger back to this group. It's the team. I mean, it's not an easy game, obviously, on Thursday coming up in Oklahoma against Oklahoma City. But it's the team is, as long as they can handle business, then I would imagine this team's got a chip on their shoulder against the Thunder with the way things have gone this season. So if they can, and OKC's playing great basketball, so I think it's gonna be a really good game. But if they can get that one going to the All-Star break, they could be in a worse spot than they are when compared to where they were about a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm watching the Spurs because they just won't die. They beat OKC tonight despite Chris Paul having a great game. But yeah, you know, and Portland I think is a huge threat. Not to mention Memphis, who is at 500 or slightly above 500. So long way to go. But I think this is a great time for us to talk about our Bet Online line of the week. BetOnline.ag is our online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. And this week's line, we are going to be discussing Zion Williamson, Rookie of the Year odds. Now, if you guys haven't been paying attention, Andrew Lopez tweeted out odds for Zion Williamson's Rookie of the Year. And currently, it stands that Ja Morant is the favorite at -650. Zion Williamson is +350, and Kendrick Nunn is +2,000. Do you think, one, these odds change tomorrow? Two, is it possible for Zion to steal this? Is this a discussion we should be even having?
I hate to put a damper on things. I still don't see it. So the odds do change. I think that's fair. I think people they'll get impulse bets on Zion after the game like this. And so I think the odds have already changed. I haven't looked, but at the same time, I mean, so the first thing that has to happen for, I think, Zion to even have a chance to win it is for the Pelicans to make the playoffs. I think so. Right now we're starting at best, I don't know, what do you want to call it? 25% chance. And then after
what does 538 say? Jason would love that.
And then you've obviously got to put up stats that would, in the amount of games I am, will play, which is like, what, 35 to 40-ish, rival Morant's over 60, 65 games. And so that's – it's a really tough thing to ask, even for Zion. And especially when he's going to be sitting out back-to-back still, I think is the plan. So that's going to take another couple games away from him. It's just – it's – I don't see it. I would still like. I'm not going to put money on either of those things, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Morant. With even with the odds. So I'm all in on the Zion hype, but I don't see it. I know.
Lame. No, I think you're right. I think that the conversation with Zion begins and ends with playoffs, because if Memphis gets into the playoffs, there's no way Zion wins it. I mean, he's got to average like 30 and 10 going forward to make that a close conversation. And if Memphis like teeters off and New Orleans is hot and they finish with a better record, well, it's a closer conversation. If Zion and the Pelicans make the playoffs, I think he wins. Guaranteed.
Really?
I think he should win.
So you think if the Pelicans make the playoffs, Zion's going to win Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
I don't think it's that simple. That's interesting.
I think it's that simple because I think that'll require a huge – push from the Pelicans from a win standpoint, and then people can be like, look at their record before Zion, look at the record with Zion. Like, this is absurd.
Despite the strength of schedule piece.
Blah, blah, blah.
Man.
Look at the casual fans. Stephen A. Smith ain't gonna look at the schedule. Nick Wright ain't gonna look at the schedule.
Oh, yeah. I'm not there yet, but I think almost as crazy to me on this line, like, let's forget Ja and Zion for a second because I hate fun. It's crazy to me that the next best odds is Kendrick Nunn. And so plus 2,000, obviously. It's a two-man race.
I want to know where Nicolo Melli's at, okay? Melli's been making a push. He's been playing real well. He's an impact player. I believe in Melli.
Didn't even make the Rising Stars game. I guess if you're 28 years old as a rookie, can you make the Rising Stars game?
Jonathan Simmons made it like a while back when he was like 40 years old. Whatever.
Is Nunn really the third best rookie this year in terms of like production? That's crazy.
He's been decent.
Yeah.
Anywho, this has been our betonline.ag line of the week. Remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag.
Ever seen an untucked button-down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50-plus fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on small, short, slim, tall, and athletic guys of all ages. You can find your favorite Untucked style online or check out one of their 80 brick-and-mortar stores. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untucked, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is so easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untucked is the way to go. Visit Untucked.com and use the code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
I guess we can talk about the trade deadline if you want.
Nothing happened.
Hey, the Pelicans were winners.
I wrote about
this. I wrote about this. The Pelicans were winners at the trade deadline. No. Being less facetious, what I posited was that by doing nothing, the Pelicans were winners because the prime market for Derek Favors dried up. So I think we always talked about how Atlanta was the biggest Favors target, threat to pull away Favors from the team.
Yep.
And we kind of discussed like, well, is he going to be worth keeping around if he demands a big contract? Well, Atlanta traded for two bigs, Clint Capela and Dwayne Dedman. There's five teams with cap space left next year, and I think it's New York, it's Charlotte, it's Detroit, it's Miami, and there's one more. It's a bad team. Oh, it's Atlanta.
Is it Phoenix?
It's Atlanta. Atlanta has like 40 million in cap space still because they're weird. but none of those teams, you look at those teams, it's like, all right, which one of those teams is going to pay Derek Favors? And maybe it's going to be Miami. But I feel like if they're the only team with cap space and they're the only good team with cap space, they're going to have much bigger targets than Derek Favors. And what they want to do is they've gone all in on this idea of saving their cap space for 2021 when Giannis becomes a free agent. So if they do anything of the sort, they're going to do a one-for-one deal or a one-year deal where they overpay someone, and that's if they strike out on all of the other free agents. And, you know, by my counts, what Favors is maybe the sixth best big on the market this season. And so what that does is that it leaves a bunch of teams that are over the cap, and the max that they are allowed to spend on Favors is the mid-level exception. So there's a taxpayer mid-level exception, and there's a non-taxpayer mid-level exception. The non-taxpayer MLE is bigger. It's going to be around 9-point-something million this year, and that's the max someone will be able to pay for Favors unless they get him by a sign and trade. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans are in a position to pay him above the MLE, not because they have cap space, but because they have his rights. They have his bird rights. So if they wanted to, they can beat out all the other offers on the market and still retain him and not pay him a ton of money. So I think they're in a good position with Derek Favors, who I really think if he hit the open market, he'd be getting the 5-6 million taxpayer MLE, the smaller MLE.
Not even the full.
I don't even think he'd get the full, because if that is the only tool teams have available to sign players, and they're going to sign, there's going to be players are going to go after before they go after Derek Favors.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, you were going to be in a situation where at least, what, 20 teams have the non-tax MLE?
Sure.
And then there's going to be teams
there's more than space. 20 free agents, so like...
Yeah, but there's also cap space. There's also cap space. I could see him getting the full MLE. Or the full non-tax MLE.
I think it's possible. I think it's the high end of what he's going to get.
Yeah. So the necessary follow-up question is, and this is something, so we've had some internal conversations around this and kind of thinking about this from the perspective of the player. And if you're Derek Favors and you get, let's say you get a full non-tax MLE offer from Team A, and then the Pelicans offer you $1 million more than that as Team B, even though the Pelicans could technically offer you well more than what they did, as favor, do you walk if you're Derek Favors and take less money because you feel disrespected? And my question kind of to you is, what do you think is the amount of money that overcomes that gap of perceived disrespect?
I don't know, man. To me, if he feels disrespected, he can walk. Peace. Honestly, I do not care. I think I've said this all year. I think you could find a guy to play his position that gives you, you know, 80% of his value. And I think it won't be difficult. And if he wants to walk, then the Pelicans can accommodate him by a sign and trade and get something else back. And so he can have his cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. I don't care. If he wants,
especially with Zion playing the five more.
Exactly. Zion is coming. Jackson Hayes is going to get better. Melly looks like he needs more minutes with Zion. Mm-hmm. And if they get another big, that replaces Okafor or another combo forward or another stretch guy, then that's just less minutes for Derek Favors. So if he wants to walk, he can walk. And that's why I love that the Pelicans can get him from cheap. And if you're not paying him too much, I'd give him 2 years maximum, and I'd push so hard for a non-guaranteed second year or a team option or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'd structure it. And that way, you know, not only is he a cheap option, you have a stopgap essentially that you're comfortable starting as your other options get ready, and you're going to slowly diminish his minutes over time. And obviously there'll be some matchups that you really need him for, and you'll utilize him for that. But other than that, you know, that is where I'm at with Derek Favors.
Let's say you could get him for the 1 year and non-guaranteed second year. How much, what's the highest you're willing to go for that 1 year?
12.
Huh.
Maybe. What's the highest you're willing to go?
I go higher than that. Just because it's, again, it's 1 year. And I mean, I'd have to look. Obviously, I don't want to get stuck in any sort of nearing the tax type of situation, which I guess could happen with the Ingram contract. But
I think what you're going to see is the Pelicans are, there's a huge chance they end up in a situation where they're hard capped next year, either because they use the non-taxpayer MLE or they participate in a sign and trade. Mm-hmm. So that's a consideration to have. You're going to have Ingram maxed out, and there's a pretty decent chance that they're going to be hard capped. And I think a lot of teams in the league are going to be hard capped because of this MLE and sign and trade situation.
Yep.
So how much over 12 are you willing to go?
I'd probably go to 15.
See, to me, 15 becomes on the high end of, you know, like that's 12, I think, is flexible when it comes to up or down in moving salary. I think 15 is not as flexible as 12. And so I think 12 is just a nice tradable number.
Yeah, I mean,
like I can trade 12 and someone can give me their MLE guy and it works, but I don't think you can trade an MLE guy for 15.
I think you're right about that. But I also, I guess that's not something I was thinking would be likely if you're trading for some guy who, I guess a contract that maybe has less life left. But yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to get it for 12. I just, you know, I think if you're just getting him on a 1-year deal, it might take a little bit more than that. And I'd be okay with it. But it's more of a just make sure that we're not going to be in getting ourselves over the tax line. But
yeah. We'll see. So were they going to pay Frank Jackson, who played well tonight?
Yeah, he had a good game.
When you pay Frank Jackson, do you pay him and his dad's Twitter?
I don't think we should go there.
No? Okay, we'll leave it at that then.
Yeah, he played well tonight. I still don't think he's a Pelican next season, but
no chance?
I don't think it's zero.
What about a sign-and-trade? Do you think that's a chance?
No one – I mean, you really don't think the Pelicans would have taken a second-round pick for him, a real second-round pick, if they could have gotten it
at the deadline? I think that the Pelicans had trade options for him that they turned down.
Really?
That's what I think.
That, based on what I've seen from him so far, that and all of the advanced metrics around him, that surprises me. But, yeah, I don't know.
He played really well tonight. He played good defense. He made his shots, yeah. And he had 5 assists. And the question mark with him for me has always been, what do you do when you're not scoring? And tonight he did 2 things. He had 5 assists and he played good defense.
Yeah, and like it wasn't the situation, I think, or at least not from what I remember, where he was, you know, it wasn't a driving kick type point guard. But I remember a couple of plays where like he maneuvered in space the right way and drew other defenders just far enough away from their man to like find openings. And so, you know, that was he was crafty.
The betonline.ag line today should have been, who ends up with more drives, Lonzo or Frank Jackson tonight? that should have been and so I'm gonna have you guess, take into consideration that Frank Jackson played 21 minutes and Lonzo played 38 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was Lonzo.
Yeah, no, I'm going Frank.
Really?
Lonzo played 32 minutes against the Bulls and recorded 0 drives. That was 2 games ago.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like we were seeing – I mean, I thought he was attacking a little
Indiana,
bit more.
Indiana, he was really good. He was really, really good, especially everyone knows that hesitation he had, and he took Miles Turner to the rim. Best drive of his season. And it was the first time all season he recorded 10 drives. Improvement. Tonight, actually, you know, you may be right. He had a couple of those pump fakes and taking it to the rim. I think it's been more of a concerted effort for Lonzo to drive.
And he had at least 1 or 2 plays where he drove and dumped it.
I was wrong on his minutes. He played 33 minutes tonight. I was looking at a different box score. 22 minutes for Frank Jackson, or 22:40, and 33:36 for Lonzo.
Yep, I'm still going Lonzo.
Okay, I go Frank Jackson. Mm-hmm. Frankie Frank. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned one thing pretty quickly when we were talking about favors, and that was Melly and how well Melly's played recently. And I think especially the fact that he's been playing well repeatedly at the 5. And that's, you know, I didn't know obviously coming into the season, I didn't know much about him, didn't know if that was something he would be able to handle. And I think early in the season, the Pelicans kind of tried that a little bit and it didn't go very well. But he's been playing, he's been doing a really, really good job recently on the defensive end of the floor as the five. And so that could be matchup based partially, but I've liked what I've seen. And I think it will, if he continues this, it's even more of a consideration for the favors discussion over the summer, if he's really going to be able to, if you can make up 48 minutes of center with Zion, Melly, and Jackson Hayes, I mean, or most of that, then what's the point, right?
Right. And I still think Jackson Hayes is at least 2 years away. He is good for certain games and certain matchups, and he's good in bursts. But, like, man, there are some times you're just like, Jackson, what the hell are you doing? Like, I'm still not confident he really knows how to play basketball well. And he's just whatever he's doing it off of pure talent, which is great because it's a good sign. Basketball is teachable. I don't think he's a dumb guy. I don't think he has low IQ. I think it's a experience and repetition thing.
Yep.
And so I'm excited. And he's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. And he's going to get better. I still think, like, for us to pencil him in as an actual starter, year three. You know, and I know he started games this year and he looked fine in his role. I think he'll be even more of a better spot starter next year. But year three is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. But, I mean, yeah, he's not going to play less next season, right? Unless you think he played. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, so. I don't think he plays less. I think his, you know, like, I think his minutes are more consistent. They have lower variance. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Anything that you're looking for this team to do before they head into All-Star break?
I'm really excited for Zion versus Steven Adams on the boards.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's...
Well, they didn't trade Gallinari. You're right. Yeah. Oh, boy. Gallinari's going to get cooked.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting because Gallinari is one of the league's best at generating ticky-tack fouls, and he's really good at getting to the line. He's always been elite. He's in the James Harden range of three-point attempts to getting to the free-throw line ratio, so it's what makes him a really efficient player.
Yep.
But, so if OKC thinks that is a favorable matchup for him, they're going to target it. I'm also not looking forward to Chris Paul. Chris Paul will know. Chris Paul will get Zion on a switch, and he will be like, "This, hey, Rook, welcome to the league." And that's also going to be interesting to watch. But I'm excited. I hope the Pelicans get up for that game because it's super important.
Yeah, and it's, man, I'm hoping it seems like Inger might be back for that game. But if not, you know what? I'm okay with – not that I don't want Inger back, because I absolutely do, but I'm okay with seeing Josh Hart against Shai and Chris Paul in the backcourt. Like, that's, you need to throw some aggressive and some high energy defenders at those guys. And I think, you know, I think Hart would be great to have in that mix, but obviously I'll take getting Ingram's offensive game back as well. Pretty easily.
Oh, cause he likes to do their 3-point guard lineup, and it's been absolutely deadly with Schroeder, mm-hmm. who's been really good this year, especially off the bench. And so maybe we'll see more Frank Jackson matched up against Schroeder on those bench stretches. But Schroeder, Paul, and Gilgeous-Alexander, that's going to be tough to handle. The Thunder have, what, won 3 games against the Pelicans? And yep. I think two of them, I don't know if it was all 3, but at least 2 of them, it was just Chris Paul and Steven Adams pick and rolling them to death. Mm-hmm. Has Favors played any of the games?
I don't remember. But I am already, despite the defensive rebounding deficiencies that will come up if they run it with it, I'm really excited to see the small ball lineup against those guys. So even the 3-point guard with Schroeder and Shai and Chris Paul. I mean, if you throw Drew, Lonzo, Hart, Ingram, and Zion at them, what does it look like? And like I said, defensive boards. You've got a few different guards who are good at rebounding, but it's no match for Steven Adams. But I feel like every other phase of the game, than defensive rebounding, that'd be really fun to watch against this Thunder team.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a big game coming up, and hopefully the Pelicans can win out until All-Star break and their really make win out until All-Star game and make it interesting. But till then, we will probably catch you after All-Star break, unless something crazy amazing happens or whatever the case may be. But thanks for listening, folks. And once again, thank you to our sponsors.